been a while, but it's always lovely coming back here. When you gather, you bring the presence of God amongst you. And that's what we want. We gather to worship God. And so your being here together just brings that. Father, I want to pray for the children here. God, raise them up to be mighty men and women for you. I pray, Lord, as they learn scriptures, as they hear scriptures, that would take deep, deep root within their lives. That, Father, in years to come, Father, they will be mighty men and women for Jesus Christ. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So, yep, that's great. So our passage this morning, all of chapter 24. Thank you so much for reading that. That was a long reading, but you did ever so well. Thank you. Excellent. So our theme is, who will you serve? And just an introduction, we know that this is Joshua's final act as a leader of the Israelites. He urges and strongly encourages them to continue in their relationship with Almighty God. Joshua himself has faithfully loved and served God all his life. He's led the nation of Israel under the guidance of God. What an outstanding example for any leader of any nation, and also for you and I. I believe Joshua was aware of the presence of God. And I would say, if you want a successful marriage, then keep God right at the forefront of your life. Do you want to be an excellent parent? Keep God at the forefront of your life. Do you want to succeed at work? Do you want to be out of debt and financially secure? Then keep God right at the forefront of your life. But not only at the forefront, let's be aware of his presence. I'm doing the right one. Let's be aware of his presence, his awesome presence. And the presence of God is a very real experience. There's nothing like it, nothing compared to it, or even comes near. Now, there's been a number of occasions when I've had some of those special times, I'm sure you have, when I've felt such an awesome presence of God. And when it happens, you just don't want it to end. You don't want it to stop. I believe these moments are given to us to give us an insight as to what's going to happen when we die, when we go to heaven, and we're there right in the very presence of Almighty God. I think it's just an insight into that. So, verse 2 of chapter 24, this is what God says. God speaks to Joshua to remind the Israelites of how they were chosen from all the peoples and nations. Their ancestry, going back to Terah, Abraham, and Nahor. God's protection from the hostile nations. His daily provision of food and water. Provision of cities and land. In a word, his ongoing faithfulness to the people that he loves. Now, as we read this, as we read that earlier, we're also reminded, I believe, how we are chosen. And you find that in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 to 5. Says this, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. Chosen. Not a mistake. You were not a second or a third choice. chosen and brought into the family of God. Many of you know of the story of my brother Noel in his early 20s. He was convicted of murder. The charge got reduced to manslaughter, and he spent a number of years in Wakefield top security prison. And then 10 years after he came out, they found out he was innocent. Now, whilst he was in prison, his wife divorced him. And the last time he saw his children was then. He's since had an opportunity to make contact with his son, but his daughter he'd not seen for 50 years. She was 3 years old. And a few months back, she contacted Noel and said, "I think I'd like to meet up with you." So they did. And it was just brilliant. And Noel said to Eloise, "We actually have a family gathering. We gather every year." And I'd arranged that, and it was going to be in Coventry. She said, "Why don't you come along and meet the rest of the family?" And she did do. So we were all had the opportunity of meeting Eloise. She was brought into a family she never knew she had. It was wonderful. And I think there's nothing like family. And same as us Christians. But you know what? We aren't just part of a large family, but an enormous family from every nation, tongue, and tribe. So, being part of the family of God, that's also what God intended and what God provides for us. Verse 15 says, "Choose this day who you will serve." And you know what? There are only two choices. It's either to live in the will of God, or it's going to be living my way. My way, which is outside the will of God. Ignoring God's way and doing what I want, when I want, how I want, all down to me. I'll say this, God never ever forces you to do his will. Never does. He wants you to, but never ever forces you to. But he insists it's always, always our choice. God says, "You decide. It's your choice. But make the decision today. Don't procrastinate. Don't think to yourself, I'll think about making it some other time." In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says this, "I tell you, now is the time of God's favour. Now is the day of salvation." Is that God speaking to maybe you this morning to make a decision for him today? You can do it right now. You can just say a simple prayer. "Lord, God, I know I'm a sinner. I believe you sent Jesus to die as a sacrifice for my sins. Please come into my life and help me live as you want to." You can just say a simple prayer like that, and God will hear you, and God will answer you, and God will come in. Now, I would say it's a daily choice, this following God. "Lord, I want to serve you today. Let's pray, Holy Spirit, please, come with me. Make me aware of your presence in everything that I'm going to be involved in today. Direct my thinking. Challenge my wrong attitude and behavior." That should be our daily prayer. It's certainly a regular one for me. "Lord, please, I want to make a difference. I don't want to just exist. I want to make a difference in my neighborhood. I want to make a difference amongst friends. I want to make a difference in my family." Verse 15 says this. Joshua says, you should make your own choice, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua says, whatever decision you want, whatever you decide, that's what I'm going to do. So what does serving God mean for you and I? I would say there's a number of things. One of them is living a righteous life. So I think, cool, it's a bit heavy. Well, in the dictionary, it would say things like this. Righteousness means doing what is morally right. Being good, being virtuous, upright, decent, worthy, ethical. Living a godly life. Because that's what God wants us to do. Now then, if I say I love God, then my whole thinking, my whole attitude and behaviour needs to change. No lying or embellishing in the facts, but always, always speaking the truth. No deceit. No more anger or losing my temper. Always, always forgiving others. That's vital. Being kind, considerate, and caring towards others. Why? Because of this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it says this. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Isn't that wonderful? Because of Jesus Christ, you are made righteous. You are holy in the eyes of Almighty God. That's why we should choose to serve God. I'd say serving God would also include our worship, our praise and adoration, giving thanks to God for all that he's provided for you, for your salvation, the promise of eternal life, meeting all of your daily needs, and then blessing you immensely. Doesn't he? He does. Praising God for the beauty and the magnificence of his creation. I know we always moan about the weather here in England, but man, I've never seen the garden look so good this time of year. I mean, normally the grass is yellow, the flowers are just about died, but because of all the rain, it's been wonderful. I sat outside yesterday evening, just, God, what you've created, just beautiful. Some of the fragrances, doesn't it get you, just me anyway. Shut up, John, get on with the sermon. Okay. Now then, when you love someone, you don't want to do anything that may upset them or hurt them in any way whatsoever. And I would say it's the same with our relationship with God. That's why we say each day, Lord, Holy Spirit, please help me. Help me develop a deeper, stronger, even more meaningful relationship with Almighty God. Jesus said in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, the greatest commandment is this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbour as yourself. So, verse 18, we read, we too will serve the Lord because he is our God. The people make an open declaration of who their God is. And we also should never hold back declaring who our God is. That he is a God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. That our hope, our trust, our faith is in him and him alone. Let's also give testimony of how God has provided for us. How he's protected us. How he's answered our prayers. People you meet need to hear good news. Some of that good news you shared this morning. Giving testimony of God's provision, of Him answering our prayers, is always good news. Isn't it? It's great. It was great to hear some of your testimonies this morning. I think you were very brave actually saying, we had a problem with our relationship. That's not easy to say. That's very brave. Now, may God bless you. May that relationship just develop and grow into something wonderful. I pray, Lord, please use my sister, Father, to save everyone in her family, every single member. God, I pray that. Lord, we ask you because you're the God who answers prayers. Share your good news. Share it amongst the neighbours. Witness amongst your neighbours. About 2 weeks, three Saturdays ago. I live in a neighbourhood. Great where I live. My prayer is, God, I want 3 house groups down this road. I don't care which church they go to. I want 3 house groups down this road. And I believe my role is to witness. I want to talk with people. I prayed with many. So anyway, a few weeks. We normally get together as a neighbourhood and we normally have barbecues, but it's been so wet and it's not happened. So I thought, right, I'm going to do bacon rolls on the drive. So I did. So I let the neighbours know. Said, right, Saturday morning, 9:30 onwards, come and have a bacon roll and a cup of tea. Let's just get together. So, got it all set up. With me included, altogether, 22 people came. Eight others contact me and apologise. They were busy, there's children's things. Don't matter. Now then, I'm reminded, wow, 22 and there's 30 people. I know. So like God was saying to me, of course there'll be 3 house groups. 30 people, of course you can't you? Anyway, right, get on with it, fellows. So, where was we? Share your testimony. When you're talking with people, not for you folks, but my age and older, normally when we meet people, we normally find out what illness they've got. How many doctor's appointments they've got, and how many tablets we're taking. Right, when they say that, pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for healing. Say, God has answered my prayers many. Come on, let's do this. Let's witness to the goodness and the provision of God. Where am I? Right. Oh yeah, witness to others. That's it. Yes. Verse 19. Joshua says, you're not able to serve the Lord. He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. Joshua is fully aware they're serving God who is perfect in holiness. His glory is blinding. His presence is absolutely awesome. So he warns them against being flippant or blasé in their relationship. We as Christians dare to approach a holy God because Jesus Christ made it possible. It's through the blood of Jesus that we're forgiven and fully accepted before a holy, holy God. When we repented of our sins, when we said, God, I believe you sent Jesus to die on that cross in my place, God granted us salvation from hell itself and promised us a new life in Him. I believe part of that new life is the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who helps us live that life which is acceptable before a holy God. Jesus knew that we would fail in our own efforts to live a different life. So he said he would give the Holy Spirit to help us. In John chapter 14, he says this, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world can't accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives in you and will be in you. In Acts chapter 1, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. To live a Christian life, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You can't do it on your own. Now, I have heard on occasion some people say, I don't know if I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit or not. Let me say this. If you're married, you know you're married. There's no doubt whatsoever in your mind. You'd say to someone who dare question you, I remember that day. I remember that special moment. And in the same way, I would say, it's the same with the Holy Spirit. If you want prayer to receive the Holy Spirit, then there's elders, there's deacons, this leadership team here will pray for you. I'll pray for you. Or you can simply ask God yourself, whatever you feel most comfortable with. But make sure you have the Holy Spirit with you. Verse 23. Then Jesus said, throw away your foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord. Again, this was a conscious decision for the Israelites to make. And it's the same for you and I. Let's regularly examine ourselves and get rid of anything in our lives that should not be there. And as the Israelites did this, God promised to dwell amongst them, to be with them as a people, as a nation. But as individuals, they were not able then to approach God or to come anywhere near him. Only the likes of people like Moses, Joshua, King David, or the high priest could come near to God. And for them, that experience, their experience of being in the presence of God, was something very, very special. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 30, we read how Moses' face was so radiant that Aaron the high priest and all the Israelites were afraid to come near him. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 17, we read how David is anointed as king. And we read, and from that day the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. He was totally changed, totally different. This is a wonderful passage in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Can you imagine it? I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs. Each had six wings. With two wings they covered their faces. With two they covered their feet. And with two, they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Man, what an experience. Wow. Cool. You won't want to move from that. Oh, it blows you away, doesn't it? As we yield our hearts to God, the holy, holy God, the awesome, almighty God, responds by not only coming amongst us,
that lives within us.
Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Do you not realize that Christ is in you? Ephesians chapter 3. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Revelations chapter 3, verse 20. Here am I, says Jesus. I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens a door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. What a privileged people we are, that God himself lives in us. In verse 26 of chapter 24, we read how Joshua set up a monument for the people to remind the people of their decision to follow God. Now, we have various monuments as such that we can refer back to. The Day of Salvation is one. That's a major one. There's special times, special moments, monuments in our lives. Baptism in water is another monumental occasion, special moment where you decide, God, I've finished with that life. I'm dying to that way of life. As I come up out of this water, I believe you've raised me to a new life in Jesus Christ. Special moments. Baptism in the Holy Spirit, another monumental, special moment. And for you and I, as a regular reminder, we take communion, don't we? We eat the bread and drink the wine to remind us of the sacrifice that Jesus has given us, and that we have this new life. And this is a lasting monument, a lasting memorial until Jesus comes again. As we take communion, God acknowledges the salvation he has given us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Life in all its fullness is only found in Jesus Christ. If you want a true, real and meaningful relationship with Almighty God, then it's only through Jesus. So to everyone here today, I would say, choose this day whom you will serve. And let's remember, there's only two choices. It's God's way or it's my way. Living in the will of God or outside the will of God. Let's pray. Just for a couple of moments quiet, just make your own response to God. Commit yourself to God. God, I'm going to carry on loving you, following you, serving you, worshipping you. You alone are my God, my Saviour, my Deliverer, my Healer, my hope, my future. God, you are my all in all. Father, again, we praise you so much for your love shown towards us. God, we don't forget that day. That day you sent the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit, thank you for convicting us of sin to the point where we had to respond. Thank you. Holy Spirit, please never stop doing that. We want to live a life which is righteous. We want to live a life which is honouring God. We want to live a life worshipping God and witnessing. So please come amongst us, come within us yet again. Refresh us anew. Fill us anew. God, I pray that we will make a difference. I pray, Lord, for this fellowship here, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness, their faithful witness, their wonderful teaching on your truths. I pray, God, watch over this people. Bless them. And again, Father, I ask you again, raise up many, many mighty men and women for you, for your work, for your service. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.